Let's open our Bible once again this morning in the book of Exodus. And this time we're reading the chapter number 16 of the book of Exodus. And let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word together. Commencing to read at verse number 9. Verse number 9 in the book here of the book of Exodus and the chapter number 16.
And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. Came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. It shall come to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. The children of Israel did so, gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Came to pass that on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. He said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake it today, and seethe it that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went up some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he hath given you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, which I brought when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. We end our reading there, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's have a wee word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come humbly and reverently this morning around your precious word, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt lead us and that thou wilt guide us into all truth. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes that we might behold the things in thy word that will bless our souls afresh this day, for thy word is truth indeed. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, just minister to our hearts. Thou knowest the individual personal needs that press upon the hearts of those that gather here today. But we thank thee, Lord, as we've been reading thy word. Truly, Lord, it could be said, my God shall supply all your need. And we thank thee that thou didst supply the need of the children of Israel. And Lord, we thank thee that we who are saved this day, we thank thee that we are thine by sovereign grace and by an electing choice of a divine and holy God. And we pray that thou wilt truly bless us in our souls and meet our individual need. Lord, we pray for those that are not saved. Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts and draw them to Jesus. For Lord, there's no one else can satisfy them but thy saving and thy sovereign grace and the lovely person and finished work of Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son. Bless us and do us good, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In the 16th chapter here, last Lord's Day, we were looking at it. We find the children of Israel had been murmuring in the wilderness. How that God had taken them on their journey from Elam, and then they came finally to the wilderness of Sin. And there they had to remain. And there they wandered for those 40 years. Now here we find that in the midst of their wandering, God had met their need and God had given them a supply that was sufficient to their need. In actual fact, instead of God raining fire upon them because of their murmuring and because of the rebellion and because of their unbelief, we see the graciousness of God, we see the goodness of God, and we see the mercy of God as God rains bread from heaven and how that God gives it to them. You know, God preserves them there out in that wilderness. Even I look back in my own life, and I'm sure you look back in yours, and you can see the preserving hand of a sovereign and a gracious God. And there were times that our feet had well nigh slipped, but God kept his hand upon us, and God preserved us, and God met us at the point of our need. The purpose of the manna which God had given them was for preservation. It was also for reconciliation, because God says in verse number 9 here, Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And God wants us to come near. And maybe there's someone here, before I would address the people of God and give you what God has given me to deliver to you today, maybe there's someone here not saved, and you're still without Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. God wants you to come near. God wants you to come nigh to him, but you can only come nigh through the blood of Christ and through the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. You see, your sin, the Bible says, separates between you and God. And therefore, for you to come near to God, your sin has got to be dealt with. And the only power to deal with your sin is the power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I earnestly pray this morning, even as we would open the scriptures and meditate upon the Word of God, that some unsaved person will have that desire in their heart, placed in their heart by the blessed Holy Spirit, to come nigh to God and come nigh by the blood of Jesus and know the pardon and the peace that only God can give to their soul. Now, we were looking here at the purpose of the manna. Let us secondly look at the presentation of the manna. In verse number 15 it says, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. Notice its name. They said it was manna. Now the word manna simply means, what is it? What is it? And so they looked upon this, and they were really saying, what is it? They couldn't really understand what it is, and that's why they called it manna. In reality, they had an ignorance of what it was. Now I tell you this, every man without the Lord has an ignorance of the workings of God. The flesh can't understand the workings of God, friend, Because man of himself, left to himself, is totally ignorant, and it is only God can open our eyes, and it is only God can make us see, and it is only God can reveal unto us by His Holy Spirit the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says there is no beauty that we should desire Him. In other words, as far as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is concerned, left to the natural eye of man, they will not see the beauty of Christ. They will not see the glory and the wonder of Jesus Christ, because the natural mind cannot understand the things which be of God. That's why there is the need of the working of the supernatural power of the Spirit of the living God to open our eyes. And so when they saw this, it came from heaven, and they stood back and said, "What is it? What is it?" Because they were totally ignorant of what it really was. Now you'll notice it says here in verse number 15, "And Moses said unto them, This is the bread. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." And so the bread would speak to me of the value of the food. It speaks to me of what the value of the food. It was bread. That's what they needed. That's what they needed. They needed bread. And friend, let me tell you this. The Word of God says, "My God shall supply all your need." And you know, God supplies the needs of His people. And for 40 years, they were able to eat of this food, and they were able to be sustained by it because it was the food from God, and the bread speaks to us of the value of the food. It is indeed sufficient to meet the need of our hearts. There's something else about it. If you were reading in Psalm 78 about this, it talks about it as angels' food. And what does that speak to me about? It simply speaks to me about it this. It speaks that it's heavenly source. In other words, this is of God. And the food that is provided for us, the manna that God has provided for you and me, friend, and that speaks to me about the Word of God. And the Word of God that God has provided, friend, this is God's Word. This isn't man's provision. The source of this book, my friend, it's not like any other book. This is a book, my friend, its source is from God. It is God's Word. It is God-breathed. It is God-invigorated, because it is the Word of the living God Himself. And although man is ignorant of this book, and of the natural man, he can't understand this book. But praise God for the enlightenment of the Spirit of God. And that's what it takes to understand the Bible, friend. Not intellect. It is the Spirit of the living God, because this book's source is in heaven. It is in God Himself, for it is the infallible, the inspired, the living Word of the living God. Its name, its manna, what is it? Praise God, it was the bread. It was the angel food from heaven. But notice secondly about it, its size. Go to verse number 14. It says, "And when the Jew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing." A small round thing. "As small as the hoarfrost on the ground." It was a small round thing. You know, we've got this idea that somehow that things have to be big to be of value. We've got our values all wrong, friend. You see, my friend, you can have a diamond, it's very small, and yet it's very valuable. You can have something that is very big. You can have a coal that was very large, and yet, friend, it's not really valuable. But here we find that what God gave to them and what God provided for them was sufficient for their need. Its size, it was a small, round thing. But it was not large, it was small. In actual fact, it was the size of a pea. It was simply about the size of a pea. But this was God's provision. But you'll notice, the Word of God, although it's small, and this is a book, the libraries of the world is filled with many other books. But there is no book like this one. Praise God, friend, although there's only 66 books put into one, and the Spirit of God has given us this book, and all that we need for our spiritual advancement, all that I need for my spiritual blessing in life, is found in this one book.
And if it's the only book I ever read, everything that I will need for my blessing, the blessing of my soul, the edification of my soul, is found in the Word of the living God. Now notice it says it's a small round thing. In other words, there were no rough edges and there were no angles. In other words, it was round. It's complete. And let me tell you, friend, listen, this Bible that you have, this Bible that we have, friend, there is no other book. It is the Word of the living God, friend. It's a small round thing, but it is the complete revelation of God Himself. There is no other book that is from God, friend, but this one book. And in this small book that God has given it, it is a complete revelation that God has given to us. And the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Everything that I need for the spiritual journey that I'm taking through this life, friend, to sustain my soul on the journey of life, praise God, it's all found in this one little book. There's no rough edges. Why? It's the precious, infallible, inspired, living Word of the living God. Now, friend, this, you'll notice, go back to verse 15. It says, and Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now notice that. The purpose of it was to be eaten. This was not to be admired, it was to be eaten. And you'll notice God's provision for His people. God wants you to meditate and God wants you to eat the Word of God and to live by the precious, infallible Word of the living God. It's food, in other words, it's to be eaten. It's food for our soul. I never understand why God's children haven't a desire to read the Bible. Friend, if you want to be strong in the Lord, if you want to know the Lord, if you want to walk with God, if you want to know the mind of God, then there is no other place to find it but in the Word of God. The Word of God. And the Word of God, the Bible says, it's quick, it's powerful, it's only a small book, but glory to God, it's a living book, it's quick, it is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, I tell you, it pierces the soul and the marrow of our hearts, and my, what a blessing it can be to it. You notice three things here. First of all, it was eaten. In other words, appropriation. Appropriation. We need to appropriate the Word of God. Now people say to me, what does the word appropriation mean? It simply means this. To take onto ourselves. That's what it means. Or to make it our own. To make it our own. You see, we need to take the Word of God, friend. And we need to take the promises of God and make them our own. Have you done that? Is that what you're doing as you open the Scriptures, friend? Do you take the promises of the Word of God and make them your own? Says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, He was wounded for our transgression. Can you honestly say it? Have you appropriated that verse and made it yours? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, praise God, I am healed. Have you appropriated the Word of God, friend? That's what God wants you to do. Appropriate the Word of God and make it your own. Take it onto yourselves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. It says, seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto who? You. In other words, friend, here's appropriation. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Can you honestly say, friend, as you have opened the Word of God and as you have sought the face of God and claimed the promises of God, have you really taken those to be your promises? Some years ago, there was an old Scottish pastor and he was visiting a home of an old godly saint. This old lady had traveled through the journey of life for many years and was coming near the end of the journey. But ever the pastor came in to visit her this day, she wasn't interested in the gossip. She wasn't interested in what was happening in the countryside. She just wanted the Lord and God's Word to be read. And whenever the pastor sat down, and he asked how she was for a little while and just for a few moments, and Then the old saint with trembling hand just lifted up her Bible sitting at the side of her bed, and she handed it over and she said, "Pastor, read me the word. Bake me the bread of life." The pastor took the Bible, and as he opened the Bible and was searching for the passage that he was going to read, he noticed that this Bible was well marked. And he noticed that quite often, at the side of the verses in the old lady's Bible, she had written with a trembling hand, just at the side of a verse, she had a little T. And then, mostly, it was written T-P. T and P. And the old pastor thought for a moment, should I ask her? But then he just went on and read the scriptures. And as he was leaving the Bible back down beside the old lady's bed, he said to her, he said, "You know, am I asking you a question, sister? I noticed that over your Bible here, you've written with trembling hand. I know that quite beside many of the verses here, and they're beside promises, you have a T, and then you have a especially T and P. See, can I ask you, what does that mean?" The old lady looked up into his face, and she said, "Ah, Pastor, that's very simple. Said, when I read the Word of God, you see, I want God to speak to me. When I put a T beside it, that means tried. And when I put a T and P, it says tried and proven." And friend, all over that woman's Bible, beside the promises of God, was this tried and proven. Can I ask you an honest question this morning? When you open the Word of God, have you taken the promises and made them personally yours? Has there been the appropriation of the Word? Some people say to me, "The Word of God's not living to me. I can't get much in the Word of God." Friend, listen, have you taken the promises of God, and have you trusted the Lord and stood upon the promises? And can you put trusted and proven, or tried and proven, knowing that God has honored His precious Word? There's been the appropriation of the Word of God in your soul. You see, not only are the promises there, friend, but there's the commands there, there's the exhortations there, there's the admonitions there. In other words, this book is profitable for me. And that's what God said through Moses, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." God wants you to eat it, friend. God wants you to appropriate the Word and make it yours and make it personally applicable. Take it unto yourself. How many people read the Word of God, friend? Listen. And as far as their souls are concerned, they don't appropriate it. They don't take it to themselves. It doesn't mean anything to me. And when God makes a command, they don't know that God's saying, "Listen, God's commanding me." When God gives an exhortation, God is exhorting me. When God is giving an admonition, God is admonishing me. When God is giving a rebuke, God is rebuking me. When God is giving a promise, God is giving a promise to me. That's appropriation. Taking it and eating the Word of God and making it my Word. This is a word from God to me. There is appropriation. Secondly, there's meditation. You see, we're not only to take it, friend. Listen, you see, when a person eats, when a person sits down to the table to eat, you know what you're supposed to do when you do that? You're supposed to chew your food. Now, I'll tell you this. You know what is wrong with most of us? Whenever we sit down at the table, we're in such a hurry, we're just gulping it down and we get indigestion. Now, God doesn't want you to get spiritual indigestion, friend. God wants you to chew upon the food. Now, you know what that means? God wants you to take time. God wants you to take time around His precious and His infallible Word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, friend, but in God's law doth he meditate, listen, day and night. See, there's not only the appropriation, there's a meditation. And God wants you and me to read the portion, friend. Listen, is it not true that why so many of God's children get little out of a passage as this? They read it and then they just close it and lay it down. They don't meditate. What is God saying to me? What is God... What is God speaking to me here through His precious Word? Before you ever open the Scriptures, friend, say, "Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will speak to me through this passage of Thy Word. And help me not only to read it, but help me to reread it. Help me, Lord, to ponder upon it. Help me to meditate upon it, that I might eat the Word and get the blessing for my soul. Study to self, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Friend, do you do that? Do you spend time around the Word of God? Do you really spend time around God's Word? And do you meditate upon it? Do you take the Word of God in and do you ponder upon it and say, "Oh God, is there a message for my soul in this what You're giving to me? For in Thy law do I meditate day and night." You see, there is appropriation and there's meditation, but there's one final step, friend. There's application. And is it not true that many of God's children, friend, listen, they don't apply the Word of God. Many of us as children of the Lord fail to apply what God is saying in His Word. Psalm 119 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." There's application. And you and I need to apply the Word of God to our soul. In other words, not only read it for knowledge. You know, so many people have Bible knowledge, but they have an application. There's not the practice of what God has said in His precious Word. And here was the manna that was given, and they said, "What is it?" But it was bread. It was God's provision. Yes, it was a small round thing, but praise God, it was complete. It was a completed thing. And then if you go to the end of the chapter, verse 31, it says, "And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like corinthus seed, white." Notice its color, friend. It's white. And what does that say to you about the food that God had given to His people? It's purity. It's purity. My friend, listen, that which God has provided for His children, praise God, there's absolute purity in the Word of God. Absolute purity. This Bible, friend, it's not a mixture of error and truth. It is truth. God's Word is true. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. Though heaven and earth may pass away, the Word of God says, my Word, says God, shall never pass away. It's forever settled in heaven. Praise God, is completely true. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, it says this in verse 5. Let me read it to you. It says, Proverbs 30, verse 5, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou shalt be found a liar." Every word of God is pure. It's a pure word, friend. This provision that God had given them, which is, I believe, an emblem of the Word of God, the food for our souls this morning, it was white, it was purity. In the Psalms, the book of Psalms 119, it says this in verse number 40, 140, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure. There's the absolute purity of the Word of God, friend. Well, some people say, "How can I know the Word of God is true?" Friend, the Word of God is very pure. It's very pure. It's a word right from God Himself, who is pure and is holy. In Psalm 12, in the verse number 6, it says these words, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You know, it's amazing. This little thing that lay upon the ground, just the size of a pea, that God had given, this little small round thing, it was white, speaking of its absolute purity. No mixture of error and truth. No mixture, my friend. No blemishes in it at all. You know, God is something else. God's a very practical God. Because let me tell you, my friend, God, the Word of God said it was a small white thing. It was easily identified. It was easily seen. You know, God's Word is a very practical book. And being white, God would help Israel to see it. And I believe that God wants you as His child to see what He's saying in His Word. God wants you to know His mind. God wants you to know His will. That's why God has given to us His precious and His holy Word. There's one other thing, let me say, about this little small white thing that was upon the ground. Verse 31 again. And the house of Israel called the name of thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. There's its taste. In other words, it was tasty. It was tasty. It was like honey. It was sweet. It was like honey. Friend, it wasn't given to be gazed at. It wasn't given to be marveled at. It was given to be eaten. And God knew that we needed taste. We needed tasty food. There's nothing as bad as something that's no taste in it. Well, you know, God has given you a tasty bite. God has given you tasty food. Because the Bible tells us here that this was, taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Oh, the Word of God is sweet then. And if you really love the Lord this morning, listen, if you really love the Lord, you will love His Word. You will. If you're in tune with God, friend, if your heart is in tune with God and you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and you want to serve the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you, it's tasty. It's from God and it's sweet to your taste. But it was something else. It was nourishing. Go to verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came onto the borders of the land of Canaan. Listen, it was subsistence. It was food that was sufficient for 40 long years. It was nutritional. It kept them going. And remember this, they were out in the wilderness and there were many trials and they faced many difficulties. But I tell you, the food that God gave was all they needed. And thank God there's the Word of God, friend, is a powerful word. It's a powerful word. You see, not only is there the milk of the Word for the young babe in Christ, but there's the meat of the Word. And God says you're to take the milk of the Word that ye might grow thereby. God wants you in your spiritual life. God wants you to grow spiritually. And so therefore, He gives you the milk. And then He says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we read it this morning. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk that ye might grow thereby. God wants you to mature. But God also knows that not only do you need the milk of the Word, but God knows you move on from the milk to the meat of the Word, that you might have nourishment for your soul. And God's provision for the children of Israel facing the wilderness experience, praise God, it was sufficient for 40 years. 40 years. They had a diet that God given them was so strong in nutrition that it kept them going for 40 long years. Years. It's all you need. It's all you need, friend. My God shall supply all your need. Now, we've looked at its purpose. We've looked at its presentation. Very quickly in closing, let's look at its preparation. Because, you see, God gave the children of Israel rules. God gave them rules of how that they were to use this manna. And, friend, God's Word is His rule book. And God tells us that we are to rightly divide the Word of God. And God says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. You can't just mishandle the Word of God, friend, and use it or abuse it. Some people take a verse and they try to twist the verse just to suit their own situation. That's abusing the Word. But God has provided here and God has rules for them. First of all, it had to be collected. There was a daily collection. If you go to verse number 4.
of Exodus chapter 16, it says this, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." This is God's provision, friend. "And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." God says, listen, I'm going to give you sufficient for every day. Go to verse number 16. "This is the thing which the Lord had commanded, gather off it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." There had to be a collection. There had to be a collecting of it. God provided this manna in a very wise manner. Notice it had to be gathered. You know, God didn't, listen, God could have sent it into their tents if what the Lord wanted. The Lord didn't do that. They had to gather it. You know, God doesn't excuse laziness here. And God doesn't promote our responsibility here. God promotes industry here. They have to gather it. And to gather it, friends, listen, they have to stoop down to gather it. You notice God didn't put it on a tree. God put it on the ground. And if you and I want to gather the Word of God, friends, let me tell you this. We'll need to bend our knee. We need to stoop. We'll have to bend our knee. If you want God to speak to you, you and I need to have a submissive heart. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things." God, this is from thee. This is thy word. And God, I can't understand it of myself. I need the moving and the working and the revelation of thy Holy Spirit to my heart, that I might understand. I might understand what you're saying in your precious word. It had to be not only collected, it had to be collected every day except the Sabbath day. In other words, friend, listen, they had to trust God from day to day. From day to day. You see, God provided all their need. I was looking down verse 18, look at it. "And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." In other words, enough. There was always enough. There was always enough. Listen, God has enough in his word. Praise God. Listen, it wasn't provided to be hoarded. It was provided to be eaten. In other words, they were to use it with profit. It was to be profit to their souls. And God has given to you and I his precious word. And God wants it to be our spiritual profit. And they had it gathered every day. In other words, there had to be a systematic gathering. Now, friend, that's what you, if you want to know the Word of God, if you want to know the mind of God, there has to be a systematic gathering. You can't, you know, some people are so disorganized about reading God's Word. You need to take time out for God, friend. Every day. You need to take time out around the Word of God. Some people, you know, they're just like an ebonite bottle. They give it a bit of a shake, and then there's a bit of a fizz, and oh my, they're just all go. Friend, once the fizz goes, everybody's dead. And is it not true that there are people, and my, they get so excited for a little while, and my, they're reading, they can't get enough, and my, they want to spend my nearly days of it, and then after that, it just passes away. Now they're not reading the Word of God anymore. The Word of God had to be gathered every day, friend. And notice if you go to verse number 13, it says, "It came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew lay, that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing." It was to be gathered, you notice. It was to be gathered in the morning. In the morning. In other words, what is this saying? It speaks, listen, friend, listen. You and I need to have a systematic and be very careful in our reading of the Word of God, that we read it carefully and we spend attention, and in the morning, before other things can take our attention. Another thing, before other things creep in. Now, I'm not saying that everybody must read it simply in the morning, but you do need to take time out for God. There needs to be a systematic reading of the Word of God.
You need to spend, if you want to go on with God, if you want to grow, if you want to spiritually mature, friends, let me tell you this, you can't be haphazard in the reading of God's Word. You can't be haphazard in spending time in the presence of God. You've got to take time out for God and His Word, in prayer and meditation upon the Word of God. But when it was gathered to be used. Go to verse 19. And Moses said, let no man leave it to the next morning. In other words, friend, it wasn't gathered to be hoarded. It was gathered to be used. It was gathered to be used. It wasn't to be left to the next morning. And you know, when God gives us His precious Word, God wants us to live by it. Live by it. Sad thing is some of these people didn't listen. You know, you can't tell some people. Verse number 20 says, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses. Listen, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is telling me that I can't keep it until the morning? Listen, friend, it says this. Some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. You know, God has to teach us lessons, doesn't He? We want to walk in rebellion to His precious Word. You see, God says, leave it not until the morning. In other words, use it. Use it. Use it profitably. And so the Word of God had to be taken and gathered in the morning, and it had got to be used that day, except it came to the sixth day, and they were to gather twice so that they would rest and give the Sabbath unto the Lord. Time's away. Listen. You know, the Word of God tells me this. Verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. It was an inexhaustible supply. Never ran out. An inexhaustible supply for 40 long years. Until they came to the land of Canaan. And you know, you and I have got a book here, friends, let me tell you. And I don't care how long you live. To the day that you draw your last breath, God has an inexhaustible supply here. And that book will never run out. And if you have a yielded heart before the Lord, I'll tell you this, God will never disappoint you. Every time you come to the book, God will say something new to you. God will say something fresh to you until you come to the land of God's provision. And then the things we don't understand, we'll understand it better by and by. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word today. A word for us in season. A word for us in every season. A word that's inexhaustible. A word that's very pure. A word that meets our every need. Help us, our God, to believe Thy Word this day and feast upon it. In Jesus' name. Amen.